Hola, mi gente. The moment you've been waiting for is finally here. My brand new book, Financially Lit, is officially out. And I can't wait for you to get your copy. Inside this book, I'm bringing you culturally relevant and relatable personal finance advice that will allow you to finally feel seen, heard, and understood. Whether it's the guilt you feel from being the first person to make it while members of your family are still struggling, or the way that financial trauma manifests itself in negative and limiting beliefs around money, Financially Lit is here to guide you through it all. Just a few years ago, it was almost impossible to find personal finance books written for first-generation wealth-building Latinas. We have been forced to navigate the complicated world of money with a bunch of money books written by old white dudes who don't understand what it's like for us first-gen kids. But that stops right here, right now. Inside Financially Lit, you will learn how to set boundaries with your familia, with your dinero, create and pass on generational wealth, diversify and increase your income, protect yourself from financial abuse, navigate the complicated relationship between amor and dinero, invest like a white dude or better, and so much more. You can get your hard copy and audiobook version of Financially Lit at financiallylitbook.com, and make sure to join our email list so you can find out when I'm stopping in a city near you for the Financially Lit book tour. See you soon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I try to root myself in the dream. I have this dream for myself and for my family. In 10 years, I know the Connected Reader is going to be the vibrant community that I envision it, and it's going to be a steady stream of passive income that allows me and my family freedom. And I know in that moment, I will look back on the Denise now, and I will appreciate her, and I will be grateful for her. So why the hell am I not appreciating and being grateful for her right now in this moment? And I really try to like center myself in that.
You're listening to Yo Quiero Dinero, a personal finance podcast for the modern Latina. I'm your host, Janice Torres, award-winning Latina personal finance expert. I didn't always have my financial shit together, but when I started looking for POC-friendly personal finance podcasts, I couldn't find any. And so Yo Quiero Dinero was born. On this show, I'll show you how to make dinero, how to keep your dinero, and most importantly, how to make it grow. Each week, I'm connecting you with the most brilliant minds in the world of money and business, so you can learn about investing, entrepreneurship, and building wealth. The best part? I'm dishing up all this knowledge with a sassy side of sazón. So if you're ready to be poderosa with your dinero, you've come to the right place. Let's dive in. Before we hop into today's conversation, I want to remind you to follow us on social. If you're loving this podcast and you want more community, you want to find out more about our events and all the stuff that we have going on behind the scenes, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere else you love to hang out on the internet. If you're loving this podcast, please take a moment to leave us a review if you listen to us on Apple. It's the easiest way to share our podcast with people that you know and love, and it helps us get discovered by amazing listeners like you. So take a moment, leave us a review, share us with your friends and family, subscribe so that you never miss an episode, and make sure to check out our blog, YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com, where you can sign up for our email list and you'll never miss an episode. Plus, you get exclusive invitations to our live events, special discounts for our digital courses, and as always, our best personal finance tips and advice to help you be poderosa with your dinero. Thanks for listening. Now, let's get into the episode. Denise, welcome to the show. So excited for you to be here.
Thank you, Janice. I am delighted to be here.
Absolutely. So for folks who have been tuning into our latest season, season 6, which is crazy that this is even a thing, I've been doing a lot more work around highlighting members of our very own community. So folks who have come through my programs, and you are a blog bootcamp student. And the reason why I wanted to talk to you is because not only are you doing amazing things with the content that you're creating, but we're going to have a conversation around what it looks like to be in that messy middle of building your dream. So before we dive into that, give us an introduction. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Oh, it is messy, Janice. But my name is Denise Varghese. I am the founder of The Connected Reader, which is a community for women who view reading as self-care and who really want to carve out the space to read and connect with other women readers because it helps us be who we are and gives us that energy we need and that freedom that we want in our lives. It's bringing me a lot of joy.
Okay, so you are an educator. So I'm assuming that may stem your passion for reading and for educating yourself stem from that. But let's dive into more of like why you chose that career path in the beginning. What was your original vision of being an educator?
Honestly, don't think I had a vision. Growing up, so I'm white and I have a lot of the privileges that are afforded by that. And I did grow up in a home where we lived paycheck to paycheck. My father worked for the United States Postal Service as a mail delivery person, and my mother worked as an EKG technician at the hospital. So I learned to sort of just get on the conveyor belt of life and find a job that will pay the bills. I was able to go to college. I'm the only person in my immediate family that did that. And so I had more opportunities and I dreamed of being a writer and a journalist. But when it came time to make the career choice, I didn't feel like I had the safety net to take that leap. And so I went into education because I've always loved learning. My grandmother was like a pillar of the community as a middle school math teacher. And I just believed like this was the path that I should get on. I should let this conveyor belt of life just lead me there. And so I fell into it and I am grateful for it. Like it has brought me tremendous joy in my life, but it wasn't necessarily a choice when I look back.
I love that perspective because I think that's a lived experience of a lot of people who listen to this show is this feeling of how did I get here? Well, like, what am I doing with my life? What the fuck just happened? I woke up, I'm like in my mid-30s or in my 40s. I'm like married with kids. I have this job I don't like. I have this house that, and it's just like, we receive so much both subconscious and actual just like blatant advice, if you will, about like what a successful adult does. And typically it's like all the things that you get on that checklist of adulting. And I think for a lot of us, there comes a moment where you're just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I don't even like this shit anymore. So can you talk about what that revelation has looked like for you?
You're sharing that. And I had that exact moment. So for about 10 years, I was checking off the boxes. I finished my master's degree. I got married. I had 3 children. And those things I'm very grateful for. Wouldn't change those things. But I also, at the same time, as an elder millennial, went through 2 layoffs, 5 job changes, and the height of a global pandemic that had me and my partner working full-time at home with 2 infants and a 4-year-old. And it was traumatic. And for a long time, I wasn't able to name it as trauma because we're fine. We have the things we need. But now I can say that was traumatic. It was a traumatic experience for me. And my birthday is at the beginning of January. So I tend to bring like big energy to the beginning of a new year. And I distinctly remember the calendar changing from 2021 to 2022. And I said, enough. I am not doing this anymore. I will not survive if I do this. I cannot slog through another day like this. And you know what the first thing I did? The first thing I did was call up my therapist and get back in therapy. And that was the first step to carving out time for myself and truly thinking about what I wanted to do and how I wanted to spend my time. And from there, things just flowed. You know, when you like, when you finally have this realization and you take back some power and some agency, the doors are open, the windows are open, things just flow. And I believe that. I believe in that abundance. And that's when I learned about your bootcamp.
It's almost like a sign.
It is. I had a friend who listens to your podcast and I happened to have lunch with her and she shared about it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to that. And at the same time, you were opening up a section of blogging bootcamp. And you want to know my first reaction? My first reaction was, hell no, I can't spend that amount of money on myself. Are you kidding me? I have three children. And I happened to mention it to my husband. And here's where like having good people surrounding you is important. And his response was, why wouldn't you? And I just stopped in my tracks and I realized I was the only one not giving me permission to do that. And so I did it. And at the same time, I went to a wedding, which like we're 38, I'm a little over weddings, right? Like, but it was my group of college girlfriends. There's 10 of us. It was the 10th wedding. And my husband and I got to go for a weekend by ourselves. And I had this experience where all these people who knew me at a time in my life where I was like a different person reflected that person back to me. And I realized it's not that I was that person. I still am that person. I still am a writer. I just hadn't made space for that in my life in a really long time.
You know, I think a lot of, especially women, can resonate with this idea of we come last on the list. And God forbid you have a thought of like, what if I choose myself first? There's a lot of deprogramming that we have to do when it comes to, quote unquote, being selfish, choosing ourselves. What advice would you have for people who are navigating those emotions when they are considering making an investment in themselves and just doing something radically different than like what people around them or what even they would accept from themselves?
Yeah. I've struggled with this a lot. Like even in the past year, I've struggled with the idea like, who am I to take this time for myself when it's not like in this moment leading to anything like when it's not like the long-term dream yet, it's not allowing me to quit my 9-to-5. It's not allowing me to have like the ultimate freedom that I want. Who am I to take up this time away from my family, like just for myself? And when that happens, two things really help me. Number one, grounding myself in what is true. I've started doing a quarterly reflection of just sitting down and being like, what did you accomplish in this quarter? And the list is long, Janice. Like, and I do it now for all aspects of my life. Like, what did you accomplish in your traditional 9-to-5? What did you accomplish in the Connected Reader? What did you accomplish as a mother and a partner? Because someone's got to celebrate me. And the other piece is like, I try to root myself in the dream. I have this dream for myself and for my family. In 10 years, I know the Connected Reader is going to be the vibrant community that I envision it. And it's going to be a steady stream of passive income that allows me and my family freedom. And I know in that moment, I will look back on the Denise now and I will appreciate her and I will be grateful for her. So why the hell am I not appreciating and being grateful for her right now in this moment? And I really try to like center myself in that.
I think that taking that bird's eye perspective of what we're accomplishing on a daily basis is so important because it is so easy to forget all of the shit that you have going on because of the minutiae and the monotony of life. And so let's talk about some of those accomplishments that you would want to share with us. Like, what are some of those things, that, especially with the Connected Reader, that you're just like, holy shit, I can't believe this is a thing.
For real. And even now in my head, I have this voice being like, well, but they're not big enough, Denise. Like, and it's like, I got to slam that voice out of the way. A couple of things. In the past year of the Connected Reader, I have posted consistently. Is it like enough? Is it the amount, the volume of content that I want to be at of ultimately? No. But have I done it consistently? Yes. I've built an email list. Is it the number of people I want? No. But is it 50 and not zero? Yes. I've gotten doubled my followers on Instagram. Is it anywhere near where I want it to be? No. But is it growth? Yes. I hosted a book club that was for a fee. I asked people to pay money for a product I was giving that I created, and they did it. And I hosted a reading getaway weekend. As a beta test, I just did it with friends and family and like friends of friends as a beta test of a product that I could provide for the community in the future. And I made it happen. And we spent a weekend on the lake in Austin, enjoying each other's company, reading and carving out that space for ourselves. And so when I look at that list, I am grounded in the moment and I am proud given the amount of pulls on my time, I am proud that I carved out the time to make those things happen.
First of all, congratulations on all of those incredible milestones. I think we definitely tend to diminish what we've done and somehow make what everybody else is doing more significant and more impactful. That, you know, that's just that toxic narrative that a lot of us have picked up about just being humble and not showing your accomplishments. And especially if you are a person of color or a woman or anybody who's not like a privileged white man in our society, we're taught to just stay small and stay quiet. And so I think a lot of people can resonate with the idea of like being your biggest cheerleader feels very foreign.
Totally. And wrong. Not even foreign, just like wrong. Like I should feel shame about rooting myself on in this way.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about how you manage to do this with all the other obligations that you have. Because one of the things that a lot of my students encounter is this idea of like, well, I don't have time. Like, who has the time? And then we hear the stupid sayings of like, well, everybody's got the same 24 hours, but that's complete bullshit because a parent of two children and a toddler does not have the same 24 hours as somebody who is single and doesn't have any obligations to anybody. So tell us, as a working mom, as a wife, as a member of your community, how do you carve out the time for yourself? And most importantly, not feel guilty about it.
I take a deep breath because it's an iterative journey. It changes constantly. I think too, like I want to make sure, like I say at the beginning, like this is what I do, what works for me. If you've tried these things and it doesn't work for you, like you shouldn't feel bad about, like we are all just trying to figure out like in our personality types, within our situations, within like the resources available to us, how to make it work. For me, I got really intentional and reflective about how I spend my time and about what times of day are like my most productive times. And for me, I am an early bird. I have the most energy in the morning. And by the end of the day, I am shot. Like 7 p.m., don't talk to me. Don't need anything from me. I'm done. I've got no creative energy, nothing. And so I worked really hard on carving out consistent morning time 2 to 3 times a week to get up at like 5:30 and have an hour, hour and a half to do some content creation, to do some reading, to do some learning. I go back to the blog bootcamp models constantly. The other thing I did that was a big leap for me, because in the morning time, I'm not asking anyone for that time. That time is just like available. The other thing I did is I talked with my partner and established 2 to 3 hours every Sunday morning. Like it's a literal calendar invite on our shared calendar. That's called the connected reader time. And when I get up in the morning, I make the coffee and I come back upstairs and I leave the chaos downstairs. And I do feel guilty about it. And I work like very hard to, again, slap back on that voice of like, there's nothing to feel guilty about here. Like, this is how you are leaning into the things that give you joy and make you feel like yourself. And I leave that time every Sunday morning energized to like go and have a better day with my family and tackle all of the tasks. So the boundary setting and the communication with like those around you that can perhaps help you hold boundaries is really important. And then just the connection with others. I still talk to 2 of my fellow blog bootcampers to just brainstorm and like check in and commiserate. And I sort of have like a board of directors, if you will, of life, like friends from all stages of life, former co-workers, et cetera. And when I get stuck, I stop hiding, because my first reaction is to like hide, to go insular. I stop hiding and I reach out to them. So I'm in a moment this week. I am a little bit stuck in this, the beginning of 2024. And I am all over the coffee dates with friends, just like reaching out and being like, I need to chat. Can you just like share a listening ear to kind of like recenter myself in all that I believe?
I think that's such an important and underutilized resource for a lot of people, is that network of folks that you do have around you, because you'd be surprised how different perspectives can kind of get the wheels turning again versus just staying in your head and thinking that like you have to figure it all out. I know as an eldest daughter, I have had to unlearn the whole narrative around like figure shit out because there's nobody here to help you. And I think entrepreneurship has been a very big part of that learning lesson for me because you literally can't do it alone. You know, you can dabble in it alone. But if you're actually going to build something that's sustainable and is not killing you, you're going to have to rely on some help.
Yes. So I am also the eldest daughter. And the relearning when you grow up in that role is tremendous. And I think it goes back to what you said earlier. Why can't we all fail like white men fail all the time? Why am I so afraid of that? Why am I so afraid of talking about my struggles with others, of reaching out when I am in a moment of challenge? I've gotten a lot better about speaking my challenges out loud, like to those in my personal life, but also like on the blog, on social media, just being like transparent and normalizing the challenges that we.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Fast forward to the end of 2024. Think about your goals. What can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If you want to learn a new language, you should absolutely get Babbel. You don't need to pay hundreds of dollars to private tutors or waste hours on apps that really don't help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Just like the information that we share here on Yo Quiero Dinero, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so that you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Babbel's convenient courses have helped me learn real-life French conversational skills. I was so intimidated by the French language the first time that I visited Paris, but with Babbel's help, I learned how to order food, ask for directions, all without having to consult a random language app while I'm on vacation. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 50% off a one-time payment for a lifetime Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/dinero. Get 50% off at babbel.com/dinero, spelled babbel.com/dinero. Rules and restrictions may apply. I love that. Okay, let's talk about burnout because that's one of these things that a lot of people have been experiencing and that tends to cause a lot of angst, a lot of mental health challenges. And I don't think a lot of people even may realize like what burnout could look like. I know for me, it's like, I just want to be on the couch and I have zero motivation. Like I don't want to talk to anybody, isolate, overeating, just toxic behavior. So what is that? What that look like for you? And like, how do you even recognize that it's happening? Because I think sometimes people don't even realize they're burnt out.
This is what I am in the middle of right now. So I don't think I don't always have the ability to recognize it in the moment. It's only like afterward where I can say like, oh, you were completely burned out. Here's how you coped with it. And my coping mechanism is the emotional eating, binge watching a TV show, scrolling on my phone, just like trying to disassociate from the world. It's so interesting. I just finished this book, actually. It's called Feel Good Productivity by Ali Abdaal. And in the book, he talks about three types of burnout that prevent you from being, from like utilizing your energy in the way you want to. And it's overexertion, depletion, and misalignment. And I think a lot of people, we can identify the overexertion and depletion. Like when we are doing too much, we've committed to too much, and we need to step back and change that. Or when the way we're choosing to recharge isn't actually filling us up, which is like the binge eating, the binge watching, and the binge scrolling don't actually fill me up. What I've been thinking about a lot is the misalignment and about how sometimes I force myself to use my energy in a way that is just unproductive. So as an example, I was working traditional full-time work in education. I got to this point where I was so burned out from overexertion, and I had a lot of additional responsibilities in terms of childcare and support for my children. And I made a decision, and it was sort of like in the heat of the moment, I made a decision to step back and work part-time. And then from there, I decided, well, I'm starting to get into this like FIRE movement and my understanding of financial freedom. And I've started this blog. And I think actually I could build my own consulting business, like doing some of the work I was doing as an educator. So I'm in this journey now for about a year. And I am realizing, number one, trying to make two businesses lift off is a little bit of insanity. Like, that was maybe not the best decision. I have grace for the Denise that made that decision at the time, but I'm not sure that that was the best decision. And I'm going to learn from that choice. But the other piece of it was, I am shifting my energy from like doing the work for a company to doing the work for myself, but I'm still doing the same work. And that is a misalignment of my energy. And no wonder it still feels like a little bit like a slog. So there's like a little bit of being honest with yourself about like, what is really holding me back? And like, is it the things that I jump to first? Is it just like, I'm overcommitted, I'm not recharging in the right way? Or is there something underneath it?
I think that perspective is really insightful, especially because the whole idea of being misaligned, whether that's a career or a relationship or whatever, there's a lot of angst that can come with first recognizing that. And then it's like, oh shit, now that I know this, like, what am I going to do about it? Because this is no longer sustainable. But yes, also, whether that's going back to school and getting a degree to go get a new career, or like quitting your job to start a business, or getting a divorce, whatever, like all of those decisions lead to much more potential unknowns than like the known chaos, the known struggle. And sometimes there's a lot of comfort in that struggle. So what do we say to folks who have come to the realization that, holy shit, there's a serious misalignment here? Damn it. Now I got to do something about it. How do I start? This is scary as hell.
So I am in this moment, like literally this is where I am right now. I am like, I have to have a traditional job because that's the season I'm in as I build the entrepreneur side of the work and the connected reader. But oh my gosh, I haven't like, I'm slogging through it, and I need to like really be intentional about like, what do I want to do? And then, and align it to that. I can't do the slog. Like, I'm trying to do the slog. I can't do it. So I will just tell you what I am in the process of doing. And who knows if it's going to work, but this is what I'm doing. I have like cleared my schedule to the best of my ability. So I'm working on a few projects right now, but I am figuring out like, how can I get these to a good enough bar so I can create more space to do some of the like reflection work. The second thing I'm doing is I am looking for a career coach, someone who can provide everything from the vision setting of like, this is how I want to spend my time, all the way through to the nitty gritty of like a job search, so I can be super intentional. And I want someone who works with women and works with working mothers. Like,
oh, I got you, girl.
Yes.
I already got you. I'm going to do a shameless plug here because she's an incredible human being. Her name is Mandy Woodruff Santos. She goes by Mandy Money on Instagram. And this is literally her entire ethos, is helping working mothers redefine their career, get the bag, and just stop accepting mediocre pay, trash, toxic bosses, getting you to the place where you're actually satisfied in your career. I'm going to put her information in the episode show notes.
Amazing. And this is what I'm talking about, like opening windows and doors. Like, there's a little bit of like imposter syndrome I have, like even coming to this conversation today. But I said, I'm going to do it because like, what's the worst thing that comes out of it? A great conversation with Janice, like, and getting to share a little bit of my story that I know will resonate. So again, to like come back, what I am trying to do is like carve out the time, find like the experts that can help me and invest in myself. Again, I have this moment where I'm like, I don't really want to pay for a coach. Like, but if that's going to move me to my goal much faster than I can by myself, why would I not ask for help?
It's an unlearning that has to happen, right? It's just once you realize how the simple act of opening your mouth and asking for something can lead to incredible opportunities. It's wild. And I think you've absolutely experienced that. I've experienced it as well. And it's just like, we need those reminders that my father always said, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil. And I take that with me everywhere because it's just like, yeah, if nobody knows you need something, you're going to keep struggling, honey. So open your mouth, make some noise, let it be heard, ask for what you need. Okay, so I want to know a little bit more about the self-care practices that you have as an entrepreneur, as a working mom, because again, this is one of those things where I think a lot of people have a skewed definition of what self-care actually looks like. It's not necessarily like massages and getting your nails done. So what does that look like for you?
For me, it's a walk with an audiobook every morning. In 2024, I've been alternating a walk with a bike ride. It's just me. The way our division of responsibility in my household is split up, my husband takes the kids in the morning. So 7:45 hits, and that is my time for the next hour before I sit down at my desk. And I hold the boundary on that time. I don't schedule anything over it. That starts my morning in like a really gentle way. That's all about me. I try to eat lunch. So I like stop what I'm doing, go down to the kitchen, make a meal. You know, sometimes it's leftover. It's not something like super fancy. And I read or I watch a TV show to just give my brain a break. Right now, I'm watching the new season of Queer Eye, like just a little shot of joy in the middle of the day. And then I'm really trying to close out my day by actually closing out my day. So I'm the type of person who will just like fall into bed. I am really trying to like have a little routine where I shower, I have my skincare routine, and then I do a little bit of reading. It just helps me sort of bookend the day and feel like the day was complete. And when I shower, I run back the day and I think to myself, what went well today? Where did I feel really good? And how can I bring that forward into tomorrow?
I love it. Denise, you are so full of wisdom. I'm so glad that we've had this conversation. I want to know, based on your experience as being a member of the Jumpstart Your Blog Bootcamp, what do you think is the biggest lesson that you've learned about yourself by being a part of this program?
I am enough. I have gifts to share, and it doesn't have to be perfect. I remember, Janice, on one of our sessions, I was walking because I'm trying to like get out of my house. I have my earphones in. I'm listening in on the session. And I shared, I unmuted and shared about how like, I was like, how much content do you have to have before you press publish? Like, what is a content calendar? And you were like, press publish. And I go back to that over and over. Just get it out there. Just try it and build that momentum.
That's it. 80% of this entire entrepreneurial game is just consistently showing up. There's a lot of blogs out there that you can tell have been abandoned. There's podcasts, there's YouTube channels, there's all types of business ventures that people start. And the majority of that battle is just giving your dream enough chance to actually come to fruition. Getting out of this instant gratification mindset that I think has been exacerbated by all the bullshit we see on social media, all of these highlight reels that you're seeing of successful people, you're not seeing the struggle. You're not seeing the burnout. You're not seeing the bad decision-making and the bad investments and the what the hell am I doing with my life existential crisis moments that we all have. And I think it's just so important to maintain that perspective. You're watching somebody's highlight reel out there. And the real nitty-gritty of building your own thing is not always pretty. It stops and starts. It's roller coasters. It's ups and downs. And we have to give ourselves grace in this process because that's the only way that we'll actually enjoy it.
That's totally it.
So Denise, for folks that want to support the work that you're doing at The Connected Reader, find out more about you, please plug all the things. Tell us where we can find you and how folks can actually like get into your orbit, join book clubs, doing all that stuff.
Yeah. So you can find me at theconnectedreader.com. And on the landing page, you can sign up to join my email list and you'll get a monthly newsletter from me. You can also follow on Instagram at theconnectedreader. I am working on posting daily. I post book reviews, a monthly read along. Actually, today is where we're going to discuss January's book and more opportunities to come, including a book club this summer and a reading getaway weekend in the fall.
That's incredible. And please note that I will be sending you copies of my own book because I hope that it becomes part of your book club.
I am so excited for me to read it, Janice, but of course for you, it's just amazing. Yes.
Thank you so much, Denise. It's an honor to have incredible women like you in my circle. It's just so inspiring to see an idea come to fruition. And I can just feel the passion when you talk about what you're doing. And I think that's the thing that is the most humbling and gratifying to me, is just giving people like you permission to do something different, to follow that dream, and to never give up on it. So thank you for being here.
Thank you, Janice. Thank you for all you do.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you are ready to take your dinero to the next level, sign up for our free 14-page guide, The Financially Lit Latina, the ultimate blueprint for becoming poderosa with your dinero. This 14-page guide includes our best tips on money mindset, budgeting, debt repayment, career, investing, financial independence, side hustles, and more. And you can get it completely free. So to get your copy of The Financially Lit Latina, just head over to yoquierodineropodcast.com/start and start transforming your dinero story today. Until next time, stay empowered, stay inspired, and stay poderosa. On the Yo Quiero Dinero podcast and associated entities, all information provided is for general information purposes only and does not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Listeners should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. We assume no responsibility for information contained on this podcast and associated entities and disclaim all liability with respect to such information, including but not limited to any liability for errors, inaccuracies, omissions, or misleading or defamatory statements. Usage of this podcast and associated contents constitutes an explicit understanding and acceptance of the terms of this disclaimer.